Hey everyone, this is Jordan from SleekLens.com, and welcome to this week's episode of the Sleek Lens Photography Podcast. And this podcast is going to be all about using the light meter and the histogram in your camera. So this is going to be kind of a beginner episode. So if you kind of know all this, you probably don't need to listen. But it's always good to get a little bit of a refresher. But if you're new to photography, this is kind of the podcast that you might want to listen to, because there are certain tools that are built into your camera that kind of help you along, that will help you get kind of a more balanced, neutral exposure when you're photographing pretty much any situation. And the light meter and the histogram is probably the two main tools that you could use. And so I'm going to kind of give you some examples of how to read them, how to use them, when to use them. So this is going to be kind of a fun beginner podcast. So before we dive into the light meter and the histogram, make sure you pay attention to the very end of this episode of the podcast, because I have a special announcement that I'm sure you guys will be interested in, especially if all of this information is very new to you. The announcement I have is going to be pretty nice. So pay attention to that. So let's go ahead and get into using the light meter, what it is, and how you can use it. All right, so what exactly is a light meter? A light meter is pretty easy to understand. It's basically a device of some sort that measures the amount of light coming in. And on some of the old school light meters, they would kind of be like these devices that are not connected to your camera and in any certain way. But they kind of let you set a certain aperture or some sort of setting on your camera, and then you will be able to measure the light, and it'll kind of give you a kind of a balanced exposure with the different kind of settings that you can use. And this was kind of the big thing in the film days, because when you had film, you didn't really have kind of any way to meter the light. You kind of had to, you know, use your expertise, your judgment to meter the light correctly. So a lot of old school photographers that shot film a lot, you would probably see them wearing a light meter around their neck on like a little lanyard. And that's what they would use to kind of measure the light and help them get a balanced neutral exposure, get a better exposure than they would have to guess it. So light meters are kind of that kind of tool that you would typically see. But in most modern cameras today, you actually have a light meter that's built in. So if you're shooting in sort of an automatic mode, what the light meter will do is that's kind of how it judges the settings that it's going to put in an automatic mode. So as soon as you halfway press the shutter button down, it's going to read the light, read the scene, and suggest really settings that it kind of has predetermined depending on the light coming in. But if you're in a sort of a manual mode or an aperture priority mode or something along those lines, the light meter is going to be a little bit more useful there, because you can see the total amount of light coming in. So that's basically what the light meter does, is kind of judge the total amount of light hitting your camera. So to find the light meter, you can probably find it easily by just looking in the viewfinder of your camera, and you're going to see like a little graph at the bottom in the viewfinder, and it's probably going to be, for most cameras, it's probably going to be from -3 on the left side, go to -2, -1, 0, which would be a balanced neutral exposure based on what the light meter reads. And then it'll go to +1, +2, +3. So what that exactly means is the 0 is what is considered a balanced neutral exposure for a particular scene that you're photographing. If you may have clicked the shutter button down and you see that you have a little indicator showing that you're maybe at -2, what that means is you're 2 stops underexposed. So that's the negative portion. If you go on the other side, if you click on the shutter button halfway down and you see that the light meter's reading at the +2 end, that means you're 2 stops overexposed. So that means your image will be really, really bright compared to 2 stops underexposed, meaning that your image will be pretty underexposed, a little bit darker than it would be if it was closer to the 0 range. So again, the light meter measures the total light kind of coming into your camera and hitting your camera's sensor, but it can be fooled. So that's something that we need to pay attention to, because it can be easily fooled by little things that might be really bright in your scene, or maybe that may be really dark in your scene. So for example, if you're shooting in a very backlit situation, meaning that maybe you're shooting a model and she has a window behind her, it's going to measure the total light coming into your camera. So it's it's going to see that that window is extremely, extremely bright. So when you take the photo, most likely your model will be pretty dark, dimly lit. And that's because it's reading the light coming off of the window majority. So that's kind of something to pay attention to. It can be easily fooled. So just because you get a balanced neutral exposure, you know, you might not actually have a balanced neutral exposure for what you are wanting to photograph. Same thing with people even wearing dark clothing. If someone's wearing dark pants, dark shirt, that could easily throw off the exposure because it's measuring the darkness coming into to your camera lens. So it can not as harshly affect your exposure as a bright window would. But again, you might have to bump up your aperture, ISO, shutter speed, whatever it is, to compensate for that dark reading. That's one thing to pay attention to. That is, yes, it can be very helpful in most situations, but it can be easily fooled. So if you're running into situations where you can kind of see that your light meter is reading a balanced neutral exposure of around zero, somewhere around there, but you're still finding that your exposures are a little bit off and maybe you're losing information in some of the brighter points or the darker points of your image, this is probably the time that you might need to look at the histogram. So what exactly is a histogram? A histogram is kind of like a separate light tool that's in your camera that's built into most cameras. And it's a tool that actually, it's kind of like a bar graph that measures the brightness of each individual pixel and displays it on kind of like a horizontal line graph. So if you kind of want to see what I'm talking about as far as what the histogram is, make sure you kind of open your camera's manual and see where you can turn that on. Most likely on most cameras, there's like an info button and you can hit that a couple times when you have a photo pulled up. You'll be able to see what the histogram would look like for a particular photo that you have. So that's one thing to kind of make sure you pay attention to is, you know, actually when you can pull up the histogram, how you can pull up the histogram so you can actually see it. But again, it's a graph that kind of measures each individual pixel. And so what it does is, let's say you're shooting again that model that's in a bright, bright window, right in front of a bright window. What you're going to see is, if you have the histogram pulled up, most likely that graph is kind of going to look like a slide, like you would see at a playground, a slide going from top left all the way down to kind of like the bottom right. It's going to look like a little slope. So what that's doing is it's actually reading a lot more bright information on the right side of the histogram. So when you look at the histogram, what you're seeing is basically a little graph that is divided into five sections. So on the far left, you have your really dark black points in your image. So that's kind of the zone that you kind of want to stay away from as much as possible. It's okay to still have a little bit in that area, but you want to make sure that you don't have most of your image in that black area, because that means you're losing a lot of information. Right next to that, going over to the right, you have the kind of very dark, that's some of the very dark tones, the shadowy tones. Then in the middle, you have your midtones. Then right next to that, you have a very light area that's kind of like the brighter points, but not completely white. And then on the far right, you have your very, very white pixels. And again, that's kind of the points you want to stay away from as well. You don't want to kind of be too in the black, too in the white, because that means you're actually losing information. If you see a spike in some of the areas, so maybe you're shooting that model and you have a spike all the way to the right because of that bright, bright window, that means you're losing information. That means that even if you pull your photo into Lightroom or Photoshop and try to bring down the highlights or bring down the white slider, you're not going to get pretty much anything back because you've lost the information. There's no info for that pixel to present you. It's just going to be completely black or completely white. So using the histogram is actually a really good tool when you're shooting in a difficult situation, because you can actually see where on the image you have your brightest points, your darkest points. So you kind of want to, if you want to have a more perfect exposure, with the histogram looking at it, what you want to try to do is kind of have like what I call a little hill. So it starts kind of in the left side, the darker points, it kind of starts going up, and then in the midtones area, you have like a kind of a little hump, and then it goes back down towards the white side. That means that you have a lot of information in the midtones. That means when you bring your photo into Lightroom, Photoshop, whatever editing program you have, and you mess with those sliders, the shadows, the highlights, the exposure, you're probably going to be able to bring back a little bit of information if you kind of got your exposure a little off. So that's one really, really great tool to use, especially in many, many difficult situations. If you have time to pull up the histogram when you're out there shooting, that's a really important tool to look over. A lot of people have their histogram already on their LCD screen. So if you were to shoot in like a live view, you can actually see the histogram on your live view, and as you change the settings, the histogram will change with it. So it's showing you a real-time view of your exposure changing. So I particularly have that on my camera just so I can have it there. It's a little small histogram bar graph that goes in the top left of your live view if you shoot there. So it's kind of a cool little tool to have. So if you really want to kind of help balance your exposures, that's one really nice feature to use. So that was the main topic for this week's episode, and the reason why I chose this topic is because this is the actual big announcement. Sleek Lens has actually released a beginner's photography video course. We are super proud to have this course for you guys. So if you're really starting in photography, you're not really sure where to go, maybe you have your camera, but you want to start taking better photos and learn the ins and outs of photography, this is kind of the course for you. So it's about 30 videos showing you everything from gear, the exposure triangle, useful modes and settings that you can use, flash photography basics, post-processing both in Lightroom and Photoshop. And you have complete photography guides as well, and this is kind of my favorite part. You have complete photography guides that include portrait photography, landscape photography, real estate photography, food photography, and travel photography. So these guides are kind of like an all-in-one guide. So for example, in the landscape photography shoot, I'm going to show you how to research your shoot. I'm going to show you what it's like to actually go on location, grab your photos, the settings I would use. I'm going to bring those photos back, show you how to edit them in Lightroom, and you can see the whole process from start to finish. So you have five guides that you can go off of. So even if you're not maybe interested in food photography, maybe you're not interested in that at all, and that doesn't really pertain to you as much, it's still a great video to watch because you're going to be able to learn new things, new tricks, and kind of branch out your style of photography. So I'm really, really happy to introduce this new course to you guys. So it's, again, 30 videos, over 8 hours of content, and you also get all the downloads that I used in this video series so you can kind of follow along with me. So tons and tons of content for you guys. So make sure you check the show notes for this particular podcast. You can get a link to the course there and you can get more information. And make sure you watch the video previews as well. You get a couple previews of the course and you can see kind of how it's laid out. So I really encourage you guys, if you're beginning in photography, to go check that out and give it a really good look over. I think you guys will really enjoy it. All right, guys, thank you for joining me in this week's podcast. Make sure you go to iTunes and rate and review the show. Really appreciate that. Spread the word. Share the podcast on all the social media networks that you guys have. It really helps the show grow, and we really appreciate it. So thank you for joining me in this week's podcast, and I'll see you in the next week.